understand about a subject, the more God's Word blesses you. And many times we think we really understand something, and we're right on top of it, and boy, we've got this figured out. But then when we really start looking at it, God blesses us by letting us learn some additional things that we never saw before in it. So this morning, the question that I've put on the screen is, has someone else kept your appointment with the second death? You already know what I'm going to preach from the title, and you already probably know some of the scriptures I'm going to use. But the point I really want to make this morning is tied in with the fact that most people are scared to death of the first death. Most people are so concerned about the first death, which is separation from this life, that they don't ever give a thought to the second death, which is what all men ought really to fear. Death is a separation. And the first death, your physical death, is an actual separation from this world and this life as you know it now. And that's what most people are afraid of. They're afraid of dying. But let me tell you that in the case of the man who was killed on this highway here, Brother Knight, the most important thing to him right now is the second death. The first death is nothing. The second death is eternal. So I ask you the question, has someone else kept your appointment with the second death? If you're going to worry about death and be concerned about it, be concerned about this second death. In Hebrews 9:27, we're told about the first death, and then we're told about the second death. In Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. Now this is a judgment that has already occurred and has passed on you and myself and all men. That judgment was settled a long time ago when Adam sinned and we inherited his sin nature. We have already been judged. We have been found guilty. And because we have found guilty, just like a man has a sentence passed on him for the electric chair, he's appointed to go to the electric chair. No appeal, he has to go. So a long time ago, I was appointed by judgment, the assessment of God, to physical death. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, I have to die. I have to. Now I know I've heard some preachers and I've heard some teachers say, well, I'm not going to die because at the resurrection, I'm still going to be here and I'm going to be changed and transformed. Well, my friend, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And when you're transformed from flesh and blood into a glorified body instantly, let me tell you, a death has to occur of this old nature and a sudden transformation. And let me tell you, you're then separated from this life as you know it. So it's a death. And all men are appointed to it, whether it's being changed instantly at the rapture while you're still alive, or whether it's coming back with the Lord with your saved soul and being reunited with your old body. That's a settled issue. I don't have any appeal on that. I've got to die, and I accept it. So that's just a part of it, and how about that, sports fans? And I've got to die, and I know it. But after this, the judgment. The judgment for what? I've already been judged and found guilty of physical death, and there's no appeal. But what about after this, the judgment? That is a judgment for whether or not I'm going to experience the second death. And let me tell you, I do not wish to experience the second death. And if you're going to be afraid of death, be afraid of that one. Because, man, this one, this second one, is the bad one. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. The dust returned. That's the first death. Right now, my grandparents, my mom, my dad, their flesh, in most cases, is already decayed or is decayed, and their dust is returning to the earth as it was. They have experienced the first death, and that's over for them. But look at the rest of this verse. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The Spirit shall return. For what? For judgment. Judgment for what? Judgment for whether or not that Spirit is going to experience the second death. And the second death is no different from the first in this sense. It is a separation from something. The first death is a separation from this world and this life. But the second death is an eternal separation from God and a fixation of your spirit being placed in eternal torment, never to be freed, and eternally separated from the God who gave it. And that's the one you better be afraid about. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. So if you want to be afraid of something, be afraid of this. And in being afraid of it, the Holy Spirit of God will lead you to the solution, which will allow you to no longer be afraid of it. The second death is eternal separation from God. So I ask you a fair question. And it's the most important question you will ever answer in this life. What will he do with your spirit when it returns to him? What will he do with your spirit when it returns to him? One thing for certain, he's going to judge it. And if your spirit does not measure up to the expectation of salvation in Christ, if it does not measure up to God's standard that he has established, your spirit will be found wanting, and eventually it will be eternally separated from God in a lake of fire. That is the second death. In Revelation 20, 13 through 15, and then going back to verse 6. Now, right now, on this earth, there are basically two elements, water and earth. Now, earth is made up of rocks which deteriorate into soil. So there are two elements, land and sea. All of the old bodies and the old carnal natures of all those people who have ever lived, both saved and lost, all of their old carnal natures, their old bodies, and the nature that indwell them, have to be in one of two places, either sea or land, water or land. They have to be. Now, death is pictured as the land, the earth, the grave. Some people have a watery grave in the sea, but one thing is certain. Every carnal nature, every fleshly body that indwelt it, is either in water or land, either in a grave or in the ocean, one or the other. There are no other places it can be. Now, I want you to notice what this says. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those are all the old carnal natures and fleshly bodies in which they dwelled. And they give them up at this point in time. And death and hell, the rest of those old carnal natures and those bodies in which they dwelled, are in graves on land. Where are the souls of all of those lost men and women who never received Christ? Where are their souls today? The souls of all those who trusted Christ are in heaven. But the souls of all those who never received Christ as Savior are in hell. Their bodies, their old natures, their carnal nature is still back here on this earth in land or in sea, but their souls, every one of them, of all the lost of all the ages, are in a place called hell. So God's going to bring up all the old carnal natures from the water and the land, and all the souls that once indwell them out of hell, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. That's the judgment, the final judgment. And it's my hope you won't be there. Because if you're found standing there at that judgment, your future is already determined, because you did not come and trust Jesus Christ. You never confessed him. You never went to him and asked for salvation. And you wasted the opportunity that God gave you. And you're going to be standing there at the final great white throne of judgment before the God of this universe. And he's going to look at your life and your works, and he's going to compare them to the works and life of Jesus Christ, and you are going to fall so far short that it'll be unbelievably pathetic. And because you fell short of the righteousness of God, which was measured by the life of Christ, you're going to suffer the second death, which is a separation. A separation from God, being thrown in the lake of fire forever and ever. And death and hell. All the things that suffered physical death without Christ, their soul went to hell. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. I don't give a rip about the first one. I'm already appointed to that. I have to experience it. Big deal. But the one I'm really concerned about is the second death. What's going to happen? Because that is an eternal separation from God and eternal punishment. And that's the one death I don't want to experience. And that's the one death, my friend, you better be afraid of. Because if there's anything in your life that you need to be afraid of, this is it. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. If you haven't received and trusted Jesus Christ as your only hope, as the one who paid the full price for your sins at Calvary, who shed that blood so that he could give to you his righteousness, impute it to you, put it to your account, so that when God looks at you, he says, I'll accept this worthless piece of sin because of what my son did, and I'm going to accept him because of the works of Jesus, and that's the only righteousness I have, and it's the only reason I'm not going to be here at the great white throne judgment, and it's he's the only righteousness I have, the only reason that I'm not going to experience the second death. I will never be separated from God because right now I have already been passed from this second death into eternal life, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. And so the second death has no fear for me. I'm not afraid of it. But if you've never received Christ, my friend, you better be afraid of it. Blessed and holy is he, verse 6 in the 20th chapter. Blessed, happy, and holy, set apart, is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the one I'm going to have a part in. On such, the second death hath no power. I'm not at all afraid of the second death. And because I'm not afraid of the second death, the first one's no big deal either. The reason is, I've been saved. I've been born from above. I've trusted Jesus. I count on him and him alone to save and keep me by his power. I don't have a worry in the world about the second death. I'll never experience it. I'll never be separated from God. I'm in spiritual union with him through the work of Christ. He is my constant intercessor. I have been made free in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus lives in me. And he is my eternal hope of righteousness, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. And look what he's got waiting for me in the future. Those people in the lake of fire will be there forever, and the horrible part about the lake of fire will be, while they're there, they'll realize the only reason I'm here is because I would not admit to myself that I'm a sinner and helpless, and I must have Jesus. And that's the only reason they're going to be there. And what a terrible thing for all eternity, never to escape, never to leave, always to be there. What a horrible thing. That's the second death. Thank God I'm not going to experience it, and I hope none of you do. Revelation 1, 5, 6, and 18. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, here's why I'm going to have a part in the first resurrection. And if you don't have a part in it, and if you end up in the lake fire, here's the only reason you're going to end up there. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. You won't trust in what another man did for you. You won't trust in his blood sacrifice, in his offering, in his life, in his works. You will not trust in what he did. You're still trying to trust in what you can do. You have no hope of appeasing or pleasing or atoning yourself with God. There's no way you can redeem yourself. Jesus has already done all that. God will not accept anything else. And when you come to Jesus and just trust his shed blood and his life to save you, my friends, you've got a Savior that you'll never have to experience the second death because Jesus has already suffered it for you. When he died at Calvary, he just didn't die physically. Oh, he died physically. But for 3 hours, he hung alone in darkness, the man Christ Jesus. And at the end of 3 hours, he looked up to heaven, and he cried out from the depths of his soul, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The man Christ Jesus was separated from his Father. And that's what death is, the separation from God. He's already suffered the second death for you. And if you won't receive what he did, you deserve to experience it. But by the grace of God, as he hung alone and bore my sins, he experienced being separated from his Father for the first time in all of his existence. But I want you to notice what he said. He said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" But I want you to notice the first two acclamations before it. My God, my God. He still called him my God. That's the faith that God uses to justify all of us. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith," that kind of faith that he has, "I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." When you receive Christ, you receive a living Christ. And that faith of Christ indwells you, the living person of Christ. And God looks and sees him in you. And he cannot deny that faith, that experience, the second death for you at Calvary. And washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look back up here in Revelation 20 and 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Look at verse 13. "And they were judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. You're going to be judged for your works without Jesus. And you're going into a lake of fire because you wouldn't receive him. But take a look down here, what he says in Revelation 1:18. "I am he that liveth and was dead. He was separated from the Father, but being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow." He resurrected him from the dead, and he's alive forever to be in perfect union as God himself. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. And have the keys, the authority to say who goes to hell and who goes to heaven. And have the keys of hell and of death. I'm not afraid of hell, the lake of fire, or of death, either the first or the second. Because he has the authority to send me to heaven or hell, and he's my Savior and will never leave me and forsake me. If you can't say he's your Savior, my friend, you're going to experience the second death, and I tell you, it will not be pleasant. 1 Corinthians 15, 26, 55, and 57. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What kind of deaths do we have? Hebrews 9, 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die," that's a physical death, a physical separation from this world. But what about the second death? "But after this, the judgment." Judgment for what? Whether you experience the second death. There are two kinds of death, and the worst kind of death is the second death. But when it says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, it means both physical and spiritual. It means that the last enemy that will be destroyed is that which separates us from God forever. And God will make a choice between those who have trusted his Son and those who have not. And those who have not will be cast into a lake of fire burning forever. And those who have trusted his Son will be eternally blessed in heaven by the grace of God in eternal joy and contentment, living and alive in every way. And God will have forever destroyed death, and there will be no death in heaven, and there will be no change in hell. Those in heaven will be eternally blessed. Those in heaven will be, and hell will be eternally cursed. You say that doesn't seem fair. I'm telling you that it is more than fair on God's part. It is grace. It is unmerited favor, unwarranted, and yet God has done it. O death, both physical and spiritual, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'm not afraid of the grave. I have to die physically to get there. And after my old nature goes there in the grave, my soul goes to be with the Lord. The Lord has won a victory over both in the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I think that's the reason I love that song so much. Oh, what a Savior, oh, hallelujah. I love to sing it. I love to sing it from my heart. Because the more I understand about Jesus, the more I realize that he's a greater Savior than I realized the year before. I tell you, he saves us from what we are. Rewards us, blesses us, comes to indwell us, lives within us, motivates us, carries us, protects us, cares for us, puts up with us, and by his marvelous, miraculous power, presents us spotless before the Father by his blood, and makes us acceptable to God, and we shall be kings and priests and work and live and serve God forever in a kingdom that has no end and in which death has no part. I pray before the living God this morning that if there is anyone here who wants Jesus as Savior, I pray they'll realize that that want and desire that you have is God's Spirit convicting you of the need to receive him. And this morning, you can trust him and put your faith in him as God's Spirit deals with your heart. You need to choose Jesus as your only hope. He's already experienced both deaths for you. He's made the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All men are weighed down with a burden of an appointment with death. Hebrews 9:27, is appointed unto death, wants to die. As we grow old, we look more within ourselves and we become more frightened of death. God has the answer to the solution, the problem of all of those worries. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And how I love verse 57. In 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And in verse 57 is the answer that God gives. And if your heart will receive it this morning, you can walk out of here knowing the same Savior I know, having the same friend that I have, having the same awareness that you must never suffer the second death, not losing completely your fear of death, but a realization that no matter what happens, you are in the hands and arms of Almighty God through the person of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. But thanks be to God. Did I obtain this victory? Can you obtain it through your works? No. And that's why I thank God. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now for just a moment, I want to stop. Everything I have said up to this point was directed toward someone who might not know Jesus, to show them what Jesus has waiting for them. But now God has a few words to say to you and to me. If as you listen to this, and God's Spirit touched your heart, and you begin to realize that Jesus suffered more for you than you thought, and you begin to realize that he did something for you that there is no way you can ever repay, if God's Holy Spirit touched your heart and you looked at these things and you said, what a Savior, what a Savior, then I want to encourage you to look at what he says in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, following verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, a conclusion. If you understand this, God's Spirit's touched your heart this morning. Here's His message to you and to me, the man who's preaching. My beloved brethren, I am a beloved brethren. And every one of you that have received Christ are beloved brethren, beloved sisters and brothers in Him. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable. In these last days, we need to stand faith fast in the truths that God has given us. We need to be unmovable in our desire to please God. How? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you really believe that Jesus did all this to save you from the second death and assure your position in heaven with Him and His Father forever, then I ask you this morning, are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Is it such a great thing to ask you to give of your finances to God? Is it such a great thing to ask of you to serve Him in His church, to be faithful, and to look for things that you can find that God would have you to do? And why should we do this? For as much as you know. If you don't know this morning, it's my prayer before the Lord that you'll come to understand it. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those of us who know Christ are not going to experience the second death. And everything we do for Jesus in this life, every work that we perform, every act that we give in submission to Him, is not going to be in vain. And I guarantee you, when you arrive in heaven as a child of God, it will be worth it all. Much more than worth it all. We're going to have an invitation, and I'm going to ask you a question. Has someone else kept your appointment with the second death? If you will believe that Jesus has kept your appointment and done all that was necessary to save you from what you are, in these next few silent moments, I'm going to ask you yourself, right where you're sitting, to trust the one who's done all that for you by asking Him to save you from what you are, and to believe the Word of God, which states, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, let Jesus save you by asking Him to do so. Heavenly Father, when this invitation is given, if someone here this morning has asked Jesus to save them, I pray they'll come forward and confess Him before men. But this morning, they're not ashamed of Him, and they're thankful for what He's done for them. Lord, I pray this for their sake, that they might know the joy that only an open and public profession of Christ can give. Lord, for those of us who have experienced salvation, who have trusted Jesus, oh, Lord, by Your Spirit, help us to respond to labor in Your work, knowing that our labor is not in vain. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for His sake, thanking Him for leading me by His Spirit this morning. Amen. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, I've shown you God's Word. It was a long, long way that Jesus carried the cross to Golgotha to suffer both deaths for you. Is it such a long way down a church aisle to confess that you believe He died for you at Calvary? It is not God who receives blessings from your choices and your decisions. It is God who blesses you for making. Johnny, what number?
378.
Why not trust him this morning? Will you come trusting the blood? Will you come this morning? Don't fight it anymore. Just give it up. This is the only battle in your life that if you win it and fight off God's Holy Spirit, knowing you should come, this is the only battle in your life that if you win, you lose. But if you lose to the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit, you win. Don't fight God's Holy Spirit any longer. Just give up. That's what all of us did here this morning that are saved. And as we have this last stanza, for your sake, I hope you'll come. Just come on. Come on. We're going to have a baptismal service.